There is something that might have happened to you at some point by accident. And that same thing, if you are really brave, you might do that sometimes. It's probably typical for little boys that will do that sometimes. What am I speaking about? Looking into the sun. Has it ever happened to you? I think most of us recognize that. I see some heads nodding. And of course, when you look at it for too long, it starts to hurt. But to me, one of the most amazing things is when you do it and you close your eyes, what happens? That sun is still there. And when you open your eyes, that sun is still there. And to me, that is actually what we are talking about this morning. When we look at God, the way God can be looked at, it will never get away from your sight. Because God is so beautiful. Jelmer, you just read with us Isaiah chapter 53. All of those lines, you can talk about it for such a long time. The implication of these words and what it means to us. And ultimately, what does it mean? It means God gave us what we did not deserve. That is the heart, or one of the hearts of Isaiah chapter 53. He gave us what we did not deserve, and he gave it willingly. He gave it because he wanted to give that to us. And so when you look at God, the way that God can be looked at, the way that God can be known, he will continue to be in your vision. And that makes all the difference. There is a verse that is somewhat hidden away, or maybe not quite, in the book of Romans. It says in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, Romans chapter 15, verse 4, for whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another according to Jesus Christ, that you may with one mind, with one mouth, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that if we read this verse contextually, what is the writer referring to? What is Paul referring to when he says, for whatever things were written before, were written for our learning? I believe he is talking about the Old Covenant scriptures. And brothers and sisters, let me say this again. If you look into the Old Testament scriptures with your heart, with your mind, with your body, with your soul, God comes to shine in a way that will continue to shine in your life, in your hearts, in your mind, as much as when you look into that physical sun. It continues to be there for a good while. So yes, if that is correct, if the things that are written aforetime are the things of the Old Testament, Genesis all the way to Malachi, the way that we have it in our Bibles. Creation. Wow. What an event of power, an event of love. Power in the sense that God said and spoke and it was there. Can you imagine? God spoke and the mountain was visible. God spoke and the river was visible. God spoke and the sun became visible. And so on. But it's also a story of love. God created a place for us, for mankind, to live and to function, to get married, to have children, to have grandchildren. It was an act of love that God created this world. It was an act of power. And I know we believe it. But maybe, as the Bible says, as David says, your word is my meditation by day and by night. What does that mean? David looked into the sun and he kept on looking till he saw nothing else. And that, of course, is where it becomes important for us. Read the story of Genesis 1, 2, and 3. Read it once. Read it twice. Read it twice every day for a whole week. Talk about it with one another. Talk about it with your children. My baby boy, what does that mean? My baby girl, what does that mean? That's meditation. Meditation is like the cow. The cow, what does a cow do in the morning? He eats and he eats and he eats and he eats and he eats. What does he do in the afternoon? You know the concept, four stomachs? In the afternoon, he's going to lay down. And then what is he doing? He chews and he chews and he chews and he chews and he chews. Not just 5 minutes, not just 10 minutes, for a much longer time. That is what Romans chapter 15, verse 4 is helping us to understand. Chew, 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 till you know nothing else than just that. We talk about Noah. The floods of the deep were opened. The heavens were opened. 40 days and 40 nights. We know the story. And Noah was safe in the ark. The crossing of the Red Sea. Exodus 14. We read in Exodus chapter 14 that the people saw the sea in front of them. They heard Pharaoh in the back of them. Talking about worry. Talking about anxiety. The sea in front of you, Pharaoh's army behind you. But read that story at your own time. And you will see that at one point, the angel goes from the front of them, goes to the back of the Israelites, and then it literally says, so that the one could not come to the other the whole night. So the angel that was leading them, talking about anxiety and worries, there was an angel that was leading them. And if I'm not mistaken, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14 tells us that angels are ministering spirits to them that inherit salvation. When was the last time you saw an angel? I don't know when my last time was that I saw an angel, but I know there are angels in my life. There are angels in your life. When you are faithful to God, you might not see them, you might not know it, but the Bible says they are there. And then again, what does the angel do from leading them? He went behind them to protect them. And what happened? The sea parted, and they went through all the way to the promised land. We know the story of David and Goliath. In human measurements, he was about 3 meters tall. Can you imagine? And that little shepherd boy said, "I'm afraid of that guy." Is that what he said? He said, "I'm not afraid of that guy." Why? Because of his own power? No. Because that God was with him. God says, "God rescued me from the lion and the bear. God will rescue me from him." Talking about worrying and anxiousness. Dare we to look into the Old Testament and talk about it with our husbands, with our wives, with our children, in church? Do we dare to talk about these stories until we know nothing else? That is the key of Romans chapter 15, verse 4. We talk about the valley of dry bones. Ezekiel said, when God says, "Can they live?" Ezekiel said, "You know, rattling, they came together, but there was no spirit yet. The spirit came in there and they became living beings." Brothers and sisters, there are so many other stories that we could talk about in the Old Covenant that helps us to understand the greatness of God, the protection of God, the power of God, the love of God. Talking about worries and anxiety, I want to single out a story that is probably a little bit less known. But look at 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8. It says, "Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servant, saying, 'My camp will be in such and such a place.' And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, 'Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there.' Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, 'Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?' And one of his servants said, 'None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom.'" The king thought there was a spy. There was no spy. So he said, verse 13, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and get him." And it was told him, saying, "Surely he is in Dothan." Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" Talking about fear, talking about worries, talking about anxiety. This servant of the prophet of God, he looked out of the window in the morning and he saw, what did he see? Horses, chariots, and a great army. And they came by night and surrounded the city. What shall we do? Brothers and sisters, is that not at times the question of our hearts? What shall we do? What shall I do? How do I deal with this? How do I deal with my financial trouble? How do I deal with my health problems? How do I deal with this? Or even when your bike has a flat tire, how do I get to the store? How? Is that not the thought of our hearts sometimes? What shall we do? Look at verse 16. So we answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses of God, chariots of fire of God, all around Elisha. And you can imagine what happened. The fear subsided. The fear was gone. When Elisha asked the Lord to open the eyes of the servant. And here, I believe we find two very important principles. When it comes to anxiety, when it comes to fear, when it comes to worry, when it comes to the hardship of life, I believe lesson number one is you are never alone. You are never alone. And we can look at other stories. But this is one of the hearts of this story. You are never alone. We look at Abraham bringing his son to the mountain. He was not alone. We look at Noah. He was not alone. We look at Daniel. He was not alone. We look at Paul. He was not alone. Life will have its troubles today, tomorrow, and the day after. And if we live long enough, even the last day of your life will have worries and troubles. But what is the beauty of Christianity? The beauty of Christianity is that you can have a peace that surpasses the understanding in spite of your trials, in spite of your worries, in spite of your hardship, because God says you are not alone. I am with you. And the second lesson: God will fight for you. Because who did the fighting here? It was the physical horses and chariots against the heavenly horses and chariots. God did the fighting. And that is so beautiful. And please understand me correctly. In the Bible study, we sort of emphasized also our part of the story. In the sermon, we're emphasizing God's side of the story. But of course, it does not mean that we don't have a responsibility in that process. The first responsibility is faith, believing it, and trusting in His promises. As the song says, standing on the promises of God. That is our story. Our story is not we are so good. Our story is not we are so higher than others. Our story is we have someone with us. Remember Jesus? He said, I can call 10 legions of angels if I want to. 10 legions. But he did not do it. Can we call angels? The Bible says you don't even have to call them. If you are faithful, they will surround you. The Holy Spirit is with you. You don't even have to ask it. He is with you, the Bible says. But you need to be faithful. Exodus chapter 14, verse 13 says, And Moses said to the people, Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians, whom you see today, you will see again no more forever. Exodus 14, verse 13. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. What is the story? If I'm understanding this verse correctly, God says, the only thing that you have to do is to be faithful, and I will take care of the rest. Whatever is not in your hands, I will take care of it. That's the story of God. So now, if you look at Romans chapter 12, the first two verses, verses that we are likely well known with, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If I understand this verse correctly, I believe it means we need to be transformed by the renewal of our mind. That is why meditation is so important, because that changes your perspective. If Genesis 1 and 2 is in your heart, it will change your perspective. If Noah is in your heart, it will change your perspective of life. That is why Romans 15 verse 4 says, those things that are written aforetime are written for your learning, that through the perseverance of the scriptures, you might have hope. How does hope come about? Of course, in more than one way. But according to Paul in Romans 15, one of the ways by which hope comes about is by delving yourself into the old covenant until you know nothing else. That's the heart of Romans chapter 15. And the heart of Romans chapter 12 now in verse 2, be transformed as you read, as you study, as you learn, as you build your relationship with God, you will become transformed in the renewal of your mind. Someone said this, if I keep looking as I have always looked, I keep looking as I always looked. If I keep thinking as I always thought, I continue to think as I have always thought. If I keep believing as I have always believed, I will continue to believe like I have always believed. If I keep doing what I've always done, then it will keep happening to me, which always happened to me. Brothers and sisters, can we ask ourselves some serious questions? Are we keep on thinking the same way as we have always thought? Are we just believing the way that we have always thought? Jan, you mentioned this morning the word seek, and you emphasized it, and rightly so. We need to seek. That means action. That means discovering new things when it comes to our relationship with God. But is that true in your life? Are you transforming by the renewal of your mind? That's the key. And that makes the difference whether you, in your anxiety, stay anxious or little by little let God shine through as the sun is shining and you see nothing else than God alone. And then your story will be no anxiety or worries. Then your story will be, my God is with me and he will fight for me. It's okay. And of course, it does not mean that what you can do yourself, all these things being said, but there are so many things in life that you have nothing to say in. But there is a way to have everything to say in it. And it comes from the highest source, the source of good, the source of love, the source of full wisdom, and that, of course, is God himself. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3 through 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will or shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Too good to be true, isn't it? But it is true. In this world in which we have many people saying things, if I may say so, the 22nd of this month, we have elections in the Netherlands. And you look at all the debates that are on television. And if all the things that those people were saying are true, we're in for a good time. But in 4 years, we will probably say, they did not say what they said 4 years ago. But this is God. God says, I make you a deal, if I may say it in those words. Don't trust in yourself, trust in me. And what will happen? It will be health to your bones or to your flesh and strength to your bones and to the glory of God himself. Because even the blessings that we receive from God are not in the first place for our own good. The blessings of God that we receive are in honor to his name. It's not about us. It's about God. So, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Your heart, your mind, your thinking determines tomorrow, determines your future. Your faith, the measure of your faith, determines tomorrow. Whatever happens tomorrow, your faith defines who you will be tomorrow, in spite of the worry and the anxiety that may come in your life. Someone said this, if you do not fill your mind with the word of God, the enemy will fill it with fear, anxiety, with stress, and with worry. We have a choice. Someone else said, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you a whole lot of movement, but it doesn't get you anywhere. That's what worry is all about. And that is why looking into the sun becomes so important. That is why looking into the spiritual sun, God, especially the old covenant, becomes so important. And lose yourself in the light of God that you cannot see anything else. We all want to be in control. Is there a way to be in control? And I would say yes. What is the answer? The answer is Philippians chapter 4. We talked about it this morning in our Bible study. But we can have control by giving our lives out of control into the hands of God Almighty, who is complete in love, complete in wisdom, complete in power, complete in everything. Philippians 4. Let us read it together. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. There can be a story of our heart that is so powerful when we bring everything to God in prayer. And that means from the smallest item that we might worry about till the greatest item that we are worrying about. Look at Moses. Exodus 15. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I will sing to the Lord. He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will praise him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea. His chosen captains are drowned into the sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces. And in the greatness of your excellence, you have overthrown those who rose against you. You sent forth your wrath. It consumed them like stubble. And with the blast of your nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright like a heap. The depths congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desires shall be satisfied on them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. You blew with your wind, the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? You stretch out your right hand, and the earth swallowed them. Brothers and sisters, our God is able. When it comes to your worries, God can do the same thing to your worries at what God did to Pharaoh and his captains. And look at what it says in verse 4. Pharaoh's chariots and his army, his chosen captains, even the best worries, even the best anxiety, even the best disappointments, God can deal with them. How does God deal with them? I don't know. How does God deal with your anxiety? I don't know. How does God deal with your worry? I don't know. But if we have looked into the lights of heaven, then whatever happens, ultimately, and I say this with respect, we can say it is good. It is good. God was there. God was with me. So, brothers and sisters, what is the song of your heart? Is it the last fashion? Is it the best way to make your house as beautiful as possible? Is it to get rich? What is your heart's desire? What is your heart's desire? I know one thing. If God is the heart of your life, then worries will change into peace. Your anxiety will change into peace. And I like to say this. I've been privileged to go through a number of different places in this world. But wherever I go, people are looking for peace. What do people fear most? Margreet, you had something along these lines this morning too. What does people fear most? Fear. That's what they fear most. What is the opposite of fear? It's peace. And God can give it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Let me close with the words of a beautiful song. When I am down, and oh, my soul so weary. When troubles come and my heart's burden be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. And we know, brothers and sisters, it is true. If we watch the elections again tomorrow, we might ask one question. Is it true? Will it happen? When you look at God. So let me close by how we started. Have you ever looked God? Have you ever looked at God the way that he can be looked at? Have you delved and started mining in the scriptures the way the scriptures can be mined at? Because when you mine the scriptures, both Old and New Testament, of course, but in terms of Romans 15, especially the old one, when you allow these things to come into your heart, when you meditate upon these things, I believe I may guarantee you the only thing that you really desire, that is the peace that surpasses the understanding. Let God glow your heart. Let God glow your life. Let God glow everything that you are. Does that mean no anxiety anymore? No. Does that mean no worries anymore? No. But you have found a way to deal with them in a way that really deals with them. When you can say, God is with me and God will fight for me. Amen.
Amen. Amen.